Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who he had invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's bow our heads and pray together. Holy and gracious God, it is so good to be here, to be reminded that you give us breath, you make our bones, and you help us sing, and you are great. And so I pray, God, now that the words that have been prepared would be blessed by you, so that together we might come to know you more and grow and learn and praise you all of our days. And I pray it in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, it is Thanksgiving this week. We are looking forward to Advent, but this week we are in Thanksgiving, and the key focus of this week is, of course, the meal, the table. My family is very ready for Thanksgiving this year because yesterday I was at the grocery store with my daughter, along with the rest of the world, by the way, and we were shopping, and I came upon this incredible deal for the turkey. Like, it was quite a deal for the turkey, and my husband and I had a conversation, and I couldn't remember where we left it. He is already where we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, so I texted him and said, "Hey, did you buy the turkey? Because I've got a great deal for a turkey." But he didn't respond because he wasn't just waiting for my text. That's okay, so I'm like, oh, should I buy it? So I bought the turkey, and when I was putting the turkey in my car, my husband texted back and said, "Yes, I got the turkey." So we have 2 turkeys for Thanksgiving. That's going to be a lot of turkey, but that's okay. More people, more food. Meals are important. The table that we set is important. The table that we sit around together is an important part of Thanksgiving. I remember, as I was thinking of this message for this week, I remembered a meal that I had at my grandmother's house. And I must have been 6 or 7 years old. I don't specifically remember. I don't remember what meal it was, but it was a big meal. There was a lot of food on the table. All the relatives were seated around the table, and I remember sitting and watching the adults drink cup after cup of coffee. And I was like, why are you still drinking coffee? Like, don't you want to get up and go do something? And I could have asked to be excused. I could have said, can I go play? Some of the cousins had already left, but there was something that just kept me at the table, and I just kind of was watching and taking it in and kind of, I don't know, I just wanted to be there. So eventually I crawled into my grandmother's lap. And I remember this feeling of my head against her chest, and I could feel the warmth of her against me, and I could smell the powder that she used. And I could hear the clink, because we were using the good china, I could hear the clink of the cups on the china, and I could smell the food, and I could hear, I shut my eyes, I could hear the conversation just washing all around the table, bouncing around from person to person. And I remember feeling so secure, and I didn't want to leave the table. And I couldn't have told you then what I think I know now. But as I fell asleep, I realized I had a place at that table. This was my table. These were my people. I was held in my grandmother's arms, and I knew I was loved, and I was secure, and I could just go to sleep without worrying about anything. Everybody wants a place at the table, right? So our parable that you just heard Debbie read was about a table. And interestingly, Jesus was at a table when he told this parable. He was with Pharisees and some of his disciples and other people, and they had finished this big meal, and they were having a conversation that was really kind of an argument about who should sit at the table and where should they sit and who should talk about what. And Jesus did the thing that Jesus does. He told a story to answer the question. And it goes like this. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready.' Can't you see him? Like, he's standing at the door. He's taken the apron off, you know. He's turned the music on. He put the dog away. And he's got his good stuff on. And the meal is laid, and he's waiting at the door. He's just waiting, like, they're going to come. My guests, I've invited these people. They are going to come and eat with me." And he's waiting. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. And no one comes. None of these people, his friends and his loved ones, none of these people come. And eventually the servant comes back and says, like, they all made excuses. And it's interesting when you read them, the excuses are a little bit odd. You know, I bought 5 cows and I can't leave them. I just got married. Like, you didn't know you were going to be married when I sent the invitation? Excuse after excuse after excuse. And the man is just left. He's just left standing there. And I can imagine that he felt, I think one of the first things I would feel was, why don't they want to come eat with me? Like, what's wrong with me that they don't want to come? But the host had a flash of anger. It says this. He said, "Then the owner of the house became angry," and I get that too. Like, they did not come, and I prepared this meal, and they didn't tell me they weren't coming. And so he has this flash of anger. But I think it would have been anger mixed with insecurity. I mean, I can picture him walking back inside the house, and he sits in one of the chairs. And he looks at empty chair, empty chair, empty chair, empty chair, empty chair, empty chair, empty chair. And only his chair is full, and there's all this food on the table, but he's not hungry. Because he's so disappointed. And he's angry. And he doesn't know what to do. I mean, if I were him, I think I would sit there and stew about it. I think I would sit there and go, I can't believe they didn't show up. Why would they not come? Why didn't they tell me? Like, why didn't they call and say I can't be there? I'm the kind of person that if later in the week I would be walking down and I'd invited Bob to the table, I would have said, "Hi, Bob." I would not have said, "Help me understand why you weren't able to come." I would have let it simmer. I wish that wasn't who I was, but I think I would have let it simmer. And that's what I picture the host would do, but not the host. The host has this flash of anger, but then it's only a pause. It's just a moment. And then he says, "Oh, I've got an idea. I've got this great idea." And he turns to the servant and he says, "Hey, go out into the alleyways and the streets and I've got it written down here. Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame." And notice what the host does. The host doesn't allow the negative experience to intrude on his joy. The host doesn't allow this difficult thing that has happened to him dictate what he's going to do next. The parable is teaching us that we get to choose our action. We get to make a choice about what the next step is. And listen, anger and hurt are fair. You can experience that, but you can sit and you can simmer in it and let it rile you up a little bit, or you can go to the next thing. And our host says, "No, I've got room at the table. Go out into the streets. Go out into the highways and the byways and bring everyone in. Here's what I can guarantee. Life will throw hard things at you. Life will throw hard things at you. That's just a true thing of life. But we can do hard things. There's a story that I'm going to tell you. I think we might have even used this years ago. But in 2015, there was a bride in Sacramento, and she was about to get married. She had everything planned. She and her family had done. It was going to be a fancy wedding. And it was the reception was going to be at a fancy wedding venue with these really expensive caterers that were going to come. And 3 days before the wedding, the groom said, "I can't do it. I'm not going to get married." Now, probably better before than after the wedding. We would agree with that. But I would imagine the bride was hurt and probably a little bit angry because the groom had said, "I'm not coming to your life." And they had invested $35,000 in the reception, in the venue, and the food. That's another discussion. But it was a lot of money. And the bride could have just been furious and shut everything down. But instead, the bride and her family called Sacramento and said, "Do you have homeless shelters? Do you know hungry people?" And the city said, "Oh, we do." So on the day of the wedding, instead of getting married, they hosted a party for the homeless. They put the homeless on the buses and gathered them up and drove them to this fancy wedding venue, which they fully decorated. They did the whole thing. They had the band. They had everything happening. And they got a 4-star meal. The bride wasn't going to allow her joy to be stolen. The bride wasn't going to allow the groom to dictate how she reacted. Of course she was hurt and angry. But she didn't let the table go empty. So a reporter said, why did you do this? And she said, "What else are you going to do with a ton of food? Throw it away?" Some people would have. She said, "Why not do something positive?" And I just find that amazing because it's your wedding day. You've been building up to this. You are terribly hurt. And she says, "No, let's have a party for the homeless." And then that evening, she and her mom left on the honeymoon trip to Bali. She was not losing her joy. You see what she did? She has grasped the lesson from the parable. Jesus is teaching this parable. He's not just telling a story about manners and about who should be at the table. He is revealing the very nature of God. And the bride was reflecting the nature of God. The bride said, "I'm hurt, and yet I want to give. I'm not going to let this go to waste. I want to share it, not just with anybody, but I want to share it with those who have nothing." Jesus is trying to tell us that God is not satisfied with an empty table. If there is food at the table, and there is, God wants the table full. So God says, keep inviting. Keep inviting until it's full. This is Thanksgiving week, and I think this parable teaches us a few things that I'd like us to take away this week. The first is this: God offers intentional invitations. So here's something I want to say to us. It's okay to get fancy at Thanksgiving. It's okay to put on an extravagant meal. It's okay to intentionally invite the people that you love to come sit at the table with you. That is a godly urging. It is in our makeup. God has made us to want to take care of those we love, to offer things to them. That means that you're going to maybe put a tablecloth on the table. We rarely do that, but on Thanksgiving, we have a tablecloth. It means that on Thanksgiving, I will make green bean casserole and plain green beans because my oldest likes the casserole and my youngest likes the plain ones. The middle one doesn't care, which is something about the middle child. But nevertheless, I will do both because I want to make them happy. And God says, that's okay. God welcomes those that God loves to the table, and God tries to give us good things. So as you prepare your Thanksgiving meal, do it with joy and with excitement and with a desire to create a space that is a blessing to those that you love. So offer those intentional invitations to the people that you love. Now, there is another lesson that God teaches us. God is generous in unexpected places. Because here's the truth. Some people come to Thanksgiving and they're sad. Sometimes holidays are hard. If you've lost someone that you love, if you've been through a difficult season, sometimes it's hard to come to the table. But you know, the host said, I'm not going to leave it empty. I'm going to go invite more people. I'm going to go do something. There's a family in our church who experienced a great loss last year. And so Thanksgiving is coming, and they were like, what are we going to do? And so they have made this intentional decision to serve, to go out and serve others Thanksgiving dinner. It doesn't mean they're running away from their grief. It means they're acknowledging that grief will be at their table, but they are also inviting others to their table. So grief will be sitting here. You can't avoid it. It is part of living. So they'll acknowledge the grief, but then also at the table, Jesus is sitting right there with the grief. And Jesus is saying, you know what, we can do this together. So they're going to have other people at their table so that they can help others, because honestly, you know that there is really nothing that helps you move to a godly place than helping others. Like, that helps us, is to get to a new place. And God will show up and bless you in that moment. I'm so impressed by them. I'm actually inspired by them. I admire what they're doing. I admire the nimbleness of the way they are able to reorder and refocus this pain in their life. It's still there, but they are choosing to do the next thing. So at your table, there will be other people, other emotions that are hard. And it's good to acknowledge that. That's the first group of people. Then there's this other group of people that that do what the host didn't do. They sit at the table and they think, nobody wants me. Nobody's coming. I'm just going to sit here until the food gets cold and the food rots and the candles burn out, and I'm just going to sit here and mope. I'm not going to do anything. That's not the nature of God. You have room at the table. If you have room at the table, you have the ability, the agency to reach out and say, hey, come sit with me at the table. Come help me in my loneliness. Come help me in my feelings of worthlessness. Come help me in this difficult place that I'm in. You have a table, and there is room around it. The nature of God says you reach out and ask for help, hard though it may be. There's a third group of people, and these are the people that have no table. They have no chair. They have no place to sit. Whether it's financial, emotional, whether it's a physical or a mental illness, they have no table. And the nature of God says, invite them. So today, I'm going to do a little bit of an unusual thing. I'm going to read you a story that talks about the table. And it's going to be on the screen, and I'm going to invite the AV person to just follow along as I read this book. It's called The Invisible Boy by Trudy Ludwig. This is a worthy book. I don't know her, but I am for her. It's called The Invisible Boy. I want you to watch Brian. Brian is the main character in this story. If you go to that first page. Brian is standing next to the teacher. Can you see Brian, the invisible boy? Even Mrs. Carlotti has trouble noticing him in her classroom. She's too busy dealing with Nathan and Sophie. Nathan has problems with what Mrs. Carlotti calls volume control. He uses his outside voice inside too much. Sophie whines and complains when she doesn't get her way. Nathan and Sophie take up a lot of space, but Brian doesn't. When the bell rings for recess, Micah and JT take turns choosing kids for their kickball teams. The best players get picked first, then the best friends of the best players, then the friends of the best friends. Only Brian is left, still waiting and hoping. JT glances in Brian's direction and just as quickly looks away. "We've got enough players for each team," he tells the others. "Let's play ball." In the cafeteria, Madison and her friends talk about her birthday party. "The rope swing over the pool was awesome," says JT. "Yeah, so was the water slide," adds Fiona. "That was the best pool party ever." "I'm so glad you guys had fun," says Madison. "Everyone did, except Brian. He wasn't invited." At choosing time, while the other kids play board games and read, Brian sits at his table doing what he loves to do best. He draws fire-breathing dragons, scaling tall buildings, space aliens locked in intergalactic battle, greedy pirates digging for treasure, and superheroes with the power to make friends wherever they go. On Monday morning, Mrs. Carlotti introduces Justin, a new student, to the class. Brian smiles shyly at him. Some of the other kids sneak looks at Justin, trying to figure out if he's cool enough to be their friend. They haven't quite made up their minds yet. At lunch, Madison and JT watch Justin eat with chopsticks. "What's that?" asks Madison, as she points at Justin's food. All the kids laugh, all of them, that is, except Brian. He sits there wondering which is worse, being laughed at or feeling invisible. The next day, when Justin goes to his cubby to put away his backpack, he notices a piece of paper with his name on it. "Justin, I thought the bulgogi looked good. Brian." At morning recess, Brian finds a piece of chalk on the ground and starts drawing away. "You're Brian, right?" "Yeah." "Thanks for the note." "Hey, Justin," Emilio calls out from the tetherball court. "You're up next." "Sorry, I gotta go," says Justin. "By the way, that's a really cool drawing," he adds, before taking off. Back in class, Mrs. Carlotti asks the kids to team up in twos or threes for a special project. The kids scurry around the room to pair off. Brian heads towards Justin. "I'm already with Justin," says Emilio. "Find someone else." Brian looks at the floor, wishing he could draw a hole right there to swallow him up. Mrs. Carlotti said we have up to 3 people in our group. We're only 2. "Come on, Emilio, let him work with us." "Okay, I guess." Mrs. Carlotti gives the class directions for the project. "Your assignment is to work together to write a story about what you see in that photograph. Use your imagination. Have fun." "Whoa, cool," says Emilio. "What kind of people do you think live in houses like that?" "I don't know, but I bet Brian could draw them to go with our story," says Justin. Brian smiles as he takes out his lucky pen. It's lunchtime again. Brian's least favorite part of the day, another 20 long minutes of kids talking and laughing with everyone else but him. "Brian," he hears someone shout. "Hey, Brian, over here." Brian turns and sees Justin waving him over. Emilio nods at Brian as he makes room for him at the table. Maybe, just maybe, Brian's not so invisible after all. If you've ever heard that line, "Hey, over here, we're going to make room for you at the table," you know what it's like. There are so many people in the world who feel like Brian. They feel invisible, like they have no color in them at all. I think we are called to bring color to other people's lives. There are people who have no table. There are people who feel like there is no chair for them anywhere. And what the nature of God says that Jesus teaches us in this parable is, no, you go and invite them because there is room at my table. And we can be those people who welcome everyone to the table and who sits next to them in the chair and says, I'm glad you're here. Tell me about yourself. I want to know who you are. So this Thanksgiving, I encourage you, not just for this meal, but for all the meals, honestly, for the church. Who can you bring some color to? Who do you want to welcome to the table that has healing and peace and hope? Amen?